6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at Lightforce, joining my co-host virtually, Anna Forsyth at A4Sy03. This is our second attempt, and as you can see, it's a little bit rough because I got things in my brain that I'm like, am I going to say this again? Am I going to change it? I don't know. It's just been that kind of night, Anna.
You know, it's unpredictable, and sometimes that's what makes hockey great. Maybe it's what makes a podcast great, too, when you can never tell what's going to happen.
Exactly. Like, you know, you ever heard of a podcast recording a day prior than they normally do in the intent that nothing will happen between that night and the usual published date of the show? You ever heard of anything like that before?
I think that rings a bell. Yeah. In case you missed the cold open Chris had to force into our last episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did get caught out by mess with the gods. Don't mess with the hockey gods. So if you record a day early, like Canucks are going to announce Quinn as captain at 8:30 a.m. on a Monday. It's just going to happen.
It certainly will. In fact, they're going to do it again because guess what? We're recording this episode Sunday night. You're not listening until Tuesday at the earliest, which means something can happen between now and then for us to then consider, do we drop a cold open or how do we approach this?
Should we guess what it's going to be?
Oh, let's see. We got a captain now. Maybe they'll just show blue seats that were magically installed when no one was looking.
Okay. Do you know what my guess is going to be? Is that the Canucks just dropped the golf video with Adam Hadwin and JT Miller, which, I mean, point a gun to my head, that sounds like the most boring video of all time. But there's going to be some secret controversy that gets, like, muttered into the mic, like, 5 minutes into this five and a half minute
that
video.
That we haven't watched.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Because
got
it's so boring. But I mean, there's going to be some controversial line.
Didn't Tyler Myers get his bonus as well, like, recently? So if that was what was holding up the trade, maybe that gets done now, like... I mean, we're tempting the gods by giving the hockey gods ideas here, Anna.
I mean, you're giving me ideas by the way you said bonus. I was like, what word is he going to go with?
Yeah. Bonus.
His bonus.
His bonus.
His it large bonus.
Big. We're going to talk about the Vancouver Canucks Young Stars Tournament. In some respect, it's slowly wrapping up. And I say it's the Canucks Young Stars Tournament. I mean, it's a bunch of teams that come together, but it seems the Vancouver Canucks are the team that makes it happen because it's always in Penticton. We're going to talk a little bit about what we expect as training camp looks to open up for the team. We're going to be recording our next episode when the Vancouver Canucks will have kind of completed a preseason game. So obviously that's kind of crazy that we're at that point. And in half full, half empty, we're going to talk about why, you know, hockey makes us mad and why maybe things are showing signs of change. But before we do all of that, going back to that earlier conversation, yes, we're recording on a Sunday night. Yes, this episode will go live on Tuesdays. But before we proceed, understand this. Starting in 2 weeks, our release date will shift from Tuesday to Monday. That means you get C4 one day earlier and in turn takes you back into the early days of the podcast when I think we actually published our show on Monday. But we'll talk again about that at the end of the show. Until then, let's rewind a bit. So the team has been doing things. I mean, the players, for the most part, were in town. Some of the young kids have since made their way up to Penticton. Lots of, you know, interesting hockey has been played. The Canucks arguably have had some success up the Young Stars Tournament. I mean, again, it's pretty much a, well, I'm not going to say scrimmage because these kids take it seriously. Having been there myself, I've watched some pretty, you know, good hockey happen between relatively equal, you know, combatants, so to speak. But is there anything about the tournament that you've heard that has stood out, or is it just, you know, the usual rigmarole where some kids show that they're going to make a tough decision in camp and others might find a way to get to big camp when otherwise they wouldn't?
Right. And I think that's the point of it, isn't it? It's just like you're getting your Abbotsford prospects who want to get the sort of ball rolling on their season. And there's people on the outside looking in that are trying to get that big camp invite that they wouldn't otherwise get. So Canucks played two games. They beat Calgary soundly, 7-1, with seven different scorers, which, you know, I think that's fun to see. The Abbotsford kids, kind of who you expect, Artu Ratu, Max Sasson, Ashley Baines, pretty good. Detective Cole McWard, pretty good. But yeah, there's some Arvidsson out of Sweden. Plasek, who's kind of been off the map lately, seems to be making some waves, so that's good to hear. He might be someone to look out for, you know, going into Abbotsford, not anywhere beyond that, but someone that was completely off the radar beforehand. Yeah, I think it's good signs. Nothing's crazy. They, this Sunday, today, they lost in a shootout after being 2-0 up to the Jets prospects. But yeah, again, this isn't a huge move the needle. It's more just like the players that we thought were quite good seem to be still quite good.
Yeah. I have seen some discussion as to some players maybe making it tough on the coaching staff to ignore a good camp from them and having them make the big club, so to speak. But I don't feel the Vancouver Canucks are in a position where they can actually afford to have a young kid make the opening night roster at this stage.
And it depends who you mean, I guess. Like, Akito Hirose has had NHL games and he's looked pretty, like, pretty good at the end of last season, and he continues to be pretty good. I don't know if you count him amongst the young kid.
Well, no, I sort of do, and it's not to suggest that there aren't going to be players who are worthy. And I know the argument is always made: if a player has a camp that dictates that they should make the big club, they will. But the Vancouver Canucks cap situation is so dynamic that they can't afford to potentially bury more NHL money in Abbotsford. And, you know, what team would go and take a player who might be a jag to them off the Canucks' hands to help them out of a pinch? I actually think that's the bigger problem, is that financially the Vancouver Canucks just don't have the flexibility to be able to have that type of, you know, upward momentum occur. Now, let's say there are injuries. Heaven forbid that were to occur, but hey, we're Vancouver Canucks fans. And there's a reality on our side of the world. Well, then that changes things. So I'm not saying that a kid might not get that call up, or a, you know, kid with a little extra experience, but I'm thinking it's going to be down the road. That, though, bodes very well if you're an Abbotsford Canucks fan.
Yeah, and, you know, which I hope our listeners are. And are paying attention to what's down the road, because I think it could be another interesting year. I do love the use of the word dynamic there for Canucks cap situation. It's just like, that's a nice way to describe it. Dynamic. Yeah, it's so exciting. Like, so many opportunities there.
Very, very dynamic. The other thing that's, you know, happening with the Vancouver Canucks is that, and it is somewhat related to the cap, is that players who they've acquired some cap relief from are showing signs of returning.
Yeah, so we didn't actually talk about this last week. I did forget to mention it, but Tanner Pearson's skating. He's, you know, he's not just skating, he's playing. Like, he has a stick in his hand. He's using that stick on the puck. Like, he is playing. Like, obviously, camp doesn't start till Thursday. Mikheyev, who we thought might be closer than Tanner Pearson, turns out not to be. He's still got a little ways to go, but not that long. I don't think he's more than a month or so away from returning. So, yeah, what do you do with a problem like Tanner Pearson's hand that somehow has recovered?
Yeah. Well, first of all, if it has recovered and he is going to be able to play in the NHL, that's fantastic, because yes, all signs were pointing to the exact opposite direction at the end of last year. But as it sort of works into the Canucks cap situation, that's $3.25 million they don't have space for.
Yeah.
And the collective agreement does not allow, and I say that with an asterisk, a player to be buried in LTIR if they are able to play.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Say that with an asterisk, because obviously we have seen it happen.
But the Canucks, it would never be allowed. The Vancouver Canucks, yeah, like, true. As we know, the Vancouver Canucks are the example as to which needs to be made to every other team in the league, it seems. But yeah, like, if, let's say, Pearson's ready to go, like, that, I mean, who goes, I mean, elsewhere?
Like, sure, like, if Mikheyev's not ready to go, which I think would be optimistic at this point, like,
well, there's your room, because, you
know, the preseason starts in a week, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think he is ready in what, like, the actual season starts in two, just over, yeah. Like, I don't think he's 2 weeks away. I think,
well,
we haven't seen him skate yet. Like, yeah. Is he in town? I'm not even sure.
That I don't know, but like, if Mikheyev does go to LTIR, so at the end of last season he was only IR, which was interesting.
Yeah,
he was only IR. Like, there must have been some cap gymnastics taking place.
Gymnastics, the dynamic gymnastics.
Well, you know, the idea is that you want to have yourself, when you're activating LTIR, to be at the top, because LTIR is useless to you if you're not needing to exceed. So I'm now wondering, where the Canucks in a weird spot where having Mikheyev go on LTIR reduces the cap impact, and as a result, the LTIR is no longer as beneficial. Like, that might have been it. So maybe that's sort of now how they make that work in the, well,
yeah,
what we were told going to be short term. Mikheyev got the surgery at that point in the season because they decided it's done this year. We want him back for camp next year.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah, I don't know. Because you would think that everyone else is healthy and good to go. I mean, we've seen most people on the ice, even. Yeah. I think Ian Cole was one of the last few people to get to town and on the ice, but he is now there. So,
see, Anna,
yeah, apart from Tucker Pullman, obviously, sadly.
But
that continues, like, to be.
It does. What and, it is. And with Tucker Pullman, though, specifically as we compare him to Pearson, they're both on LTIR. So Pearson's return, Pullman doesn't give you flexibility in his deal.
Yeah, it does not.
Tyre Myler is getting traded on Monday.
I mean,
we've done this to ourselves, Anna. I'm going to have to drop a cold open after we record this, because that's what's going to occur. Some crazy thing is going to occur before we record, we publish on Tuesday.
And God bless Tyler Myers. And sounds like he had a bit of a tough summer getting, you know, evacuated out of his place in the Okanagan. That's no fun, etc. Good guy, whatever, ish. But if he gets traded and we have instigated that in some way, shape, or form by recording a day early, I'm okay with it. I'll take that cost of looking a little silly.
Start claiming that dub on Canucks Twitter.
Yeah.
Speaking of claiming dubs on Canucks Twitter, it'll be the only place to claim the dubs, because the Vancouver Canucks announced that they're going to be shutting down the Canucks.com forums.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
The end of, I think, the end of this month, end of September.
No conversation.
Did you ever visit CDC forums?
I think possibly, but like, my time in there was very minimal.
I was genuinely curious if I had ever set up an account. And the thing about this is that the eras to which I would have done so would have been around the same time that I had an old Shaw address that I used as a personal email, which I no longer have access to. And the way the system works is it's like, yeah, if you have an account with this email, we'll send you a password reset. Doesn't give you any indication whether it's valid or not. So, but it is interesting because the Vancouver Canucks, and this is sort of, you know, Chris going back in time with the history lesson here. They were at one point the sort of forefront of the NHL's dive into the new media. The Vancouver Canucks did a really good job at embracing the community where fans could get together and talk. It wasn't always good conversation in the eyes of management. And as it's come out, management went to the digital side of the organization to say, shut it down. And the digital side said, no, like, hey, this is gold. The Canucks won awards, and it was from the Canucks.com forums that they then started to branch out into the live blog space. That's how I actually got involved, was through the live blog. And then from there into Canucks Twitter, and Canucks Twitter is a thing because of the forums or Canucks.com. Yeah. So it's the end of an era, and it's kind of sad to see the plug get pulled. But those that would have been around, back then, they're long gone. And I think it finally reached the point where the voices that would have, you know, fought to keep it are probably elsewhere now. And
yeah,
and it's over. But it is a shame. Yeah. I know there's a lot of people who used CDC as their go-to when it came to be that Twitter wasn't for them.
Yeah, like it may be that it isn't the most relevant platform anymore, but I just think it looks bad. Right? It's just what it represents, that the Canucks are just so intent on controlling narrative that, like, just... I just think you can't... Apathy is the worst thing. That's the enemy. You don't want a market that doesn't care anymore, and... I'm not saying we're there yet, but it's... It's been a long, hard time, and people are going to lose interest.
Yeah, I agree with you, though. I'm not entirely sure Canucks.com forums hurts the needle that significantly with the way Canucks Twitter is, or Canucks X, or Canucks social media. Like, forums is one card in a house of cards that will likely remain somewhat sturdy. But... Yeah. It is a card that has now been taken away. And to your point, it doesn't take that many cards to disappear before the entire house comes tumbling down.
Yeah. And it's more just like what it represents, right? It just seems a bit weak on their part.
Oh, it does. I mean, the fact that, you know, it is very clear that that senior leadership have been looking to pull the plug because of the negativity that comes out of this. We shouldn't such host negative. The negativity of, you know, fans such should love us. And I credit to the Canucks for keeping the, you know, forums around as long as they have. But if the fact that there have always been people who wanted to turn it off, and they are the ones that finally won out with their announcement saying, hey, it's going away, but we have this great app you can download. And this is the thing that actually I think people may not draw a big correlation to. When you're going to Canucks.com, there's cookies, but you can block those. And the information that the Canucks get from you is limited. But when you download that app of theirs, man, they're getting that information from you in spades. So really what they've done is they've said, we don't want this for whatever reason. Download our app. We want to learn more about you. And it's going to be so cool because with our app, we can go and tell you there's tickets for sale and stuff like that.
Yeah, like they're not emailing you all the time about that. But yeah, I just think even the usability of that app, I always keep the NHL app, even though what I'm going to the NHL app for, at least in the regular season, is mainly Canucks content or Canucks related content. But it's just a so much better user experience using the NHL app than the Canucks app. So Canucks app I go to because my tickets are in there, and that's it.
Well,
like, it's just not user-friendly whatsoever. It's like a kids' club version of an NHL app.
Which actually wouldn't surprise me that it would be a kids' club version. That seems to be the unfortunate approach that we've seen the team go from the place of leadership to the place of what is the cheapest option. It seems to work.
Yeah. And it's always, you know, external, like, I mean, it's an app. I'm sure that would normally be external consultants anyway, but you know, their marketing team is bare bones. I know almost none of them kept their jobs, and I know people are still doing work for them externally, but it's, yeah.
Well, it's funny you mentioned external. Employees. Like in the early days of sort of Canucks.com forums, the live blog, and even sort of Canucks Twitter, or at Van Canucks as they once were called, that was done by an external company called Anton Sledgehammer. And the only reason I know this was that's who engaged me, and I think others, to sort of, you know, influence. And I don't know how to describe it any other way than that. But that was simply to help get it off the ground. The marketing side of the organization had a vision. They wanted to be leaders in this space. They partnered with someone who knew it. That person got it off the ground, and then they moved it in-house, and they won awards. They were, again, a leader, and they embraced this. And now it's like, go away. We don't like the noise. We don't need this. Whatever bare bones opportunity exists works for us, and maybe we'll hire someone on contract if we need. It sucks. It's sad. Mm-hmm. But if you as a listener are missing out on the CDC forums, I think there's already an alternative. I think it's called like CanucksForums.com, which has been set up by like CDC forums people.
Another alternative?
Well, C4 Discord, of course. But I get it.
Great discussion in there.
I do get it. It's C4 Discord is sometimes more synchronous than the asynchronous experience that forums provide.
Fair enough.
C4 Discord is discord.io/C4podcast. And finally, Captain Quinn, which again, we totally knew about and didn't want to talk about last week. The Vancouver Canucks have him out and about connecting with the community. He did go out to the Okanagan to deliver a check to provide for those impacted by the very severe, you know, wildfire season that they're experiencing up in the Okanagan. This is something that the Vancouver Canucks, I will always give them credit for, from a charitable perspective. They're always looking to ensure that they have a way to be involved in the community, and they don't do those, hey, I should qualify this. Maybe they have, but I don't recall with any recent memory of them going, say, we'll donate X amount of money for every such and such. Like, they just simply say, here's
the donation. So they did have a wildfire auction of player stuff.
But
I hope and assume that they've added their own money onto that because, you know,
that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't like the doing something like, hey, we're going to auction off stuff to raise money. I don't have so much of an issue with it's when it's like, hey, if you donate to our fund and for every dollar you give us, we'll top it up by another dollar and we'll collect that and we'll donate that. So we get the benefit of the tax break.
Yeah.
To me, the shady approach.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like,
and it is virtuous if it at best.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate that when you're just like in a store being like, do you want to donate to BC Cancer? And you're just like, maybe I'll just donate to BC Cancer instead of giving you a tax break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like this is his first kind of, you know, official presidential outing.
Is that what it's called, the presidential outing? Did he have, you know, security with him, the Secret Service, the Vancouver Canucks set up? Finn, like, there's a reason why you don't see Finn outside a costume is because they got to keep what Finn's packing underneath the hidden for security purposes.
What is Finn packing underneath his costume?
Oh, it's one of those podcasts.
Yeah, apparently. But yeah, he seemed to do well. It was well received. And I think it's important because, you know, I think as much as I am a Vancouver-centric person, I don't leave the city limits for many people. I did go to North Van last week, but that was for gin, so...
My goodness, it must have taken you hours to get there. It's so far out of town.
I had to get on a sea bus. midweek.
Whoa.
Yeah, wild. But yeah, the Canucks, and I think it happens now and again, but it's good for them to be cognizant that there's a whole province out there, right?
Yeah. Speaking of there being a whole province out there, I do hope that the Vancouver Canucks look to take their training camp further abreast throughout the province.
Abreast? Jesus Christ.
I'm so sorry. But
I take your point. Yes.
When they were up in Fitzgerald before. Yeah, and I do miss seeing them engage at that level. As we have in the past. They have. Like, they've gone to Prince George. They've been in Kelowna. They've gone up to Whistler, which to me is Metro Vancouver. They've gone to the island. There are so many other areas that they could go and engage with more frequently, and that is something I kind of wish they would do more of. But
I mean, so they are in Victoria for training camp this year, but yeah.
But there are other places.
There are other places, and Victoria and Whistler seem to be the only place that exists on their radar currently. So yes, yeah. I would like them to re-engage with other places.
Anyway, we're going to take ourselves a quick moment to re-engage. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
What happens in Columbus doesn't stay in Columbus. Fair to say? Yep. If you hadn't heard the news yet, and maybe you actually aren't entirely sure what we're talking about in the first place, you may recall that Anna and I had quite a bit of concern that the Columbus Blue Jackets had decided that Mike Babcock deserved an opportunity to come back to the NHL and was the guy that they needed to help move that franchise forward. Now, Mike Babcock was not coaching in the NHL for a very important reason. Not a good dude. Got caught doing bad things. And it wasn't until the bad things come to light that he and the Toronto Maple Leafs decided maybe a different direction was the way to go. Mm-hmm. Well, when he was hired, there was a lot of, I've, grown as a person and I've used this opportunity to be better and really excited. So excited that he wanted to see the pictures of, apparently family members and such off of players' phones there in Columbus more recently. And when news of this broke, the immediate response was to, one, call out the source, which in fairness, we don't normally talk about on this show.
Yeah.
Good reason.
Questionable source, let's be fair.
And to play it off as just, I just wanted to get to know the players. And then the team came out in a press conference to back that up. Okay. So you've got bad dude doing bad things, allegedly. Source that, let's be honest, not the best out there. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to use the words of Rachel Dory, who I thought, lined up quite well, is that somewhere in between what both are saying is the actual truth. And she had said that there are issues on both, and I don't want to say both sides, because then it's the both sides-ism.
Yeah.
But the point is like, just because they say it doesn't make it, provide truth. There is some problems over here, but maybe they got this one right. Over here, they're saying, that's not at all what happened. again, dude's got some issues, but captains come out and say, yeah, and I thought it was a good way to get to know. But what was interesting about this is that both the league and the NHLPA still decided to scratch the surface a bit, head into Columbus to see what's what and talk to more than just those parties that had been put out in front of a microphone. And lo and behold, it comes to light that while Mike Babcock may have thought that it was perfectly fine to go and, you know, ask players to show them the pictures on their phones, that doing so in a position of power and in such a way that a player were to perceive that, one, they have no choice, and two, from the sounds of things, it wasn't like, hey, you know, me going, hey, Anna, you know, tell me something. No, you tell me. And I'm like, oh, hey, do you got any pictures of your, you know, cat? Can you show me?
Which I'm happy to show.
Right?
Which anyone knows.
In any genuine relationship, that might occur. No. He outright said, hey, Anna, can I see your phone? I want to get to know you better by looking at the pictures on it.
Yeah. And give me 10 minutes because this isn't a brief scan. Yeah. And to be fair to Rachel Dory, by the way, like, really don't want to make this about her in any way, but she said mea culpa on the situation. And I mean, like, I 100% get it. I don't want to be siding with that podcast at all. I don't want to be sticking up for them, but I'm just like, you know, no smoke without a fire. This came from someone. And like, we have said this so many times, Chris. Believe when people tell you who they are, believe them the first time. Like, it's Mike Babcock. Like, he wasn't this. The people that get second chances in this league, it's unreal. And especially in Columbus, like, I don't think Torts at all is on the same level, but, like, he showed us who he was the first time. Like, he's an old school guy. That's, like, his coaching style is his coaching style, so I don't know why you're thinking he's gonna magically be a different person. He's not. Like, he is what he is. I'm not comparing them because what Mike Babcock did was a gross invasion of privacy, but I'm not a big Torts fan, as I imagine a lot of our listeners are not either. But I just think it's wild. And I do wonder, like, I saw a quote tonight from Alan Walsh, the new NHLPA head. Does this happen under previous leadership? Does this investigation happen under Don? I don't know.
Yeah, that actually is a very good question, because you had an old school sports labor leader with an old school hockey culture. Not really a good combination there. And we have seen proof that the NHL's take on, or NHLPA's take on, some very serious issues has been backwards to the nth degree. So to suggest that, would the, you know, response from Mike Babcock and the team be sufficient? Yeah. The player in the, you know, the, that was apparently doing this was perfectly fine. So A-okay on our books without actually just the modicum of calling, picking up the phone and calling a few others. Is everyone in agreement? Right? Like, that's the part that blows my mind. Like, you know, oh, it's okay. The one person says it's okay. Therefore there's no issue throughout.
And the fact that that's just the automatic response, just be like, no, back up the coach. Just like, that's the automatic response before even asking the questions. And I hope, like, I mean, we've already learned this lesson about hockey culture, but maybe from some other people's perspective, that this is what has taken them to learn the lesson of, yeah, sometimes coaches have a lot of power, especially old school hockey coaches who've been around a while. Mm-hmm. And if a young player isn't, you know, given that safe space, they might not speak up to anything that's going on.
No. But the one positive I take out of this is that some of these younger players chose to speak up. And the more that do will create a clearing for others to follow suit. Like, the only way for change to occur is that initial spark, which then you have a few other sparks, and then you have some embers, and it just takes off from there. I feel that it's possible that we're now seeing not necessarily a tipping point, because I don't think we're anywhere near that, but the impetus for some others to maybe be more confident in speaking up, potentially connecting with the union to say, hey, this is what's happening. Like, I know they'll still go to those that they trust in this particular scenario. A couple of ex-players that happen to have a show. Okay, if that's how change happens, I can't be too upset. Hopefully some change happens there too. But, you know, is this where we start to see hockey culture come to the modern era?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I see on Twitter right now, a lot of people are calling out Pierre LeBrun's article, you know, his puff piece from, like, after Mike Babcock got fired from the Leafs. So I'll be curious to see how far that conversation goes. But yeah, just like, it shouldn't be this hard to just be like, we shouldn't have to be like, question things, question what you were told about somebody. Like, he got fired for abusing his players, but maybe it is. And that's like, we've talked about the sort of team first culture that hockey has and how damaging it can be by like suppressing individual sort of power in favor of the sort of hierarchy. But hopefully this kind of empowers individuals. We like, I think we're so far from going the wrong way. You know, you've got in football, there's a team like Chelsea where the players have pushed out several coaches, and that kind of was a point where you could argue that the players had too much power. But I think we're a long way from that in hockey, so for the most part.
Well, I mean, if the players had too much power, he would have not lasted very long in Toronto. In fact, he may have been done in Detroit even sooner. I mean, the stories that had already come out, like, this is nothing new. The stories had already come out before any of this, and how he treated players was unbelievable. Friend of the show, Frankie Corrado, was talking about the situation at length. And here's a guy who, like, this is a complaint that those who seem to think Babcock's getting the short end of a deal here, but you and I aren't in the locker room, but yeah. Frankie was. And then there goes, oh, it's just a disgruntled player. It's interesting that the disgruntled player who happens to have the seat in the room, somehow you can say disgruntled player and like,
I mean, look at how the difference between how Frankie talks about like his time in Vancouver and like talking about like dealing with Babcock in Toronto, because he has a hell of a lot of, you know, reasons to be disgruntled about what happened in Vancouver, but he doesn't say that. And like, he's kind of said as much on our podcast. So honestly, we have the scoop. Like, go back and listen to our podcast with him, because he's pretty honest. He's diplomatic because he's still a media analyst, but he, you know, he makes his opinion clear on how he likes to be dealt with as a player. And I think, yeah, he has his reasons for sure. And I think people were praising him for the way he spoke about the situation. And yeah, we knew that's,
yeah. I mean, you're right. Go back and listen to that episode with Frankie where he's talking about that. I mean, you mentioned Tortorella earlier.
Yeah.
Frankie actually said Tortorella has problems. Yeah. But he's no Mike Babcock.
Yeah. And I was almost goading Frankie to say something bad about Torts. Like, you know, and because I didn't like the way he was treated, but, you know, he wouldn't go there because that's not what he thinks. So he's being honest. He's not being bitter in any way.
So with all this said and done, What are your takes on Kekalainen also needing to have a reckoning at this point, having been the GM to hire the guy and to allow this to occur under his watch? Because there are many out there that suggest he should be gone too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very bad look. I think this is the moment to speak up and say, you know, we were wrong. We made the wrong choice here, and we should have been more vocal in backing our players. So I think this time will be critical as to what kind of environment they're building, because, you know, they've made some questionable choices. Like, we've talked about, you know, trades they made and whatever. And that's, you know, one thing, but like, I mean, I would say from my perspective, I think once they hired Babcock, they made their choice and they kind of showed what kind of people they were, that they were willing to look beyond what he had been, you know, found guilty of doing. So my perspective personally is that, yeah, it's a toxic environment. They should go. But as far as the wider hockey culture, I think it would be really beneficial for them to be vocal about their part in this and say, we were wrong.
Which he totally will do when he reappears from wherever it is he is hiding. Yeah. For a guy who is quick to be out there backing his coach at a presser, yeah, the day that this news broke, he has
where been you at
incognito beyond his name attached to an announcement the team released. And you know, I can't believe I'm saying this. Maybe it's the weekend and he's waiting to talk about it first thing on Monday.
Okay. But, well, we'll talk about that next week.
Should I hold my breath, Anna?
Yeah. Like, I mean, people have talked about this in relation to the podcast that will not be named. And here we're not talking about our blood feud with Wyatt and Jordan, obviously. But yes, the true evil podcast that actually did some good in uncovering this story and being persistent about it, you know, saying they could have backed off and said, you know what, we have our story, they have theirs. But no, they were like, this story didn't come from nowhere. We got receipts. And I know that, like, a leopard doesn't change his spots. I think we've said this before, believe people when they tell you who they are the first time. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect this podcast to suddenly become this beacon of good. But if they can continue the conversation about toxicity in hockey culture, well, then that'll be something.
Yeah. One sort of final note in this whole situation. Pascal Vincent, who's been hired as the new head coach, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and was apparently interviewed for this position before Mike Babcock got it. His take on how to operate the bench is complete contrast to the gentleman he is replacing. So, you know, wonder if Columbus is just sitting back wondering, maybe this is the reason why we should have gone with the better choice in the first place. But hey, hindsight is 2020.
Yep. You know, we watch with interest, like, you know, training camps haven't even started yet, and we've already got our first coaching scandal and coaching change. So, yeah.
It has to be a record being hired and fired before the puck even drops.
Yeah. You know, who says that nothing interesting happens in Ohio?
True that. Speaking of interesting things happening, the only way you can keep abreast of them with our podcast is by being part of the C4 Discord, discord.io/the C4podcast, or C4 Podcast, not the C4 Podcast. That's Twitter or X or whatever the heck it's called. It's there, however, where you can go and see Anna take shots at me for some of the things I say on the show. She does it with great love, but one of these days she might even take screen captures of the looks she gives me when I try to make segues work.
I mean, to be fair, the segue was fine. I'm just reacting to you saying abreast again.
What, you don't like that I use the English language.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm calling HR, I think.
Fair play. I think you should. You can also keep up by going to c4podcast.com, our website that's broken. Our entire back catalog happens to be there. And you can also join in on the conversation social, as I already said, at the C4 Podcast. I tried to set up a Threads account for us because I was bored. And we're the real C4 Podcast on Threads. The real C4 Podcast. Because C4 Podcast and the C4 Podcast were both taken.
By who?
I mean, if you go to like threads.net/the C4podcast, no one. Part of me wonders if it's us, but then the way Meta has it set up is it wouldn't let us take it. I don't know. But we're not the C4 podcast on Facebook. We're facebook.com/C4podcast. But yeah, I just set up an Instagram account and all this stuff. It was crazy. Anywho. I don't know if I'll ever post there. I should give myself a blue sky invite and set one up there too, just for giggles. But Anna, any final words of wisdom that you wish to share to all of our listeners?
I guess like I'm just gonna take the win for hockey culture and the blow to Mike Babcock, however it happened, all the mess it's created. Along the way, I'm going to take the win.
I'm going to say something entirely different. I'm going to remind everyone, school is back. Please drive smart and safe around schools, parks, and the like. Having walked Baby Force to school to see the number of people who believe that they get a gold medal by getting down that small stretch near the school as fast as possible is unbelievable. Be smart about yourself on the road. And I mean, that should be genuinely everywhere, but
yeah, especially around if like a certain street in Vancouver is closed for a car free day, that does not give you license to drive around the surrounding streets like a lunatic. That's not the point of car free day, but yeah.
I thought car free day was when I could just take any car I want for free. No. Yeah. But on behalf of myself, Chris at Light Force, Anna A4Scythe03, the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, which is brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com, will be back again next week on Monday. Remember, we are shifting our episode publish date from Tuesday to Monday after this episode. By the way, we out.